This is All Things Considered from NPR News on this Thanksgiving Day. I'm Melissa Block. It is the season for Oscar hopefuls and aspiring holiday hits. Theaters will be packed with films for the rest of the year. There are 35 days left in the year and 31 movie openings. We asked Bob Mondello for a selective holiday preview.
Vampires and werewolves are so last weekend. Get ready for the blue-tailed Na'vi. In a special effects blowout called Avatar, they populate a whole planet, and they have something we want.
This is why we're here.
Because this little gray rock sells for $20 million a kilo.
Their village happens to be resting on the richest deposit, and they need to relocate.
So how to remove the Na'vi? Send in the Marines.
The concept is to drive these remotely controlled bodies called Avatars. They're grown from human DNA. Mixed with DNA of the natives.
Marine in an Avatar body. That's a potent mix.
Directed by James Cameron, the guy who made Titanic, Avatar is touted as having special effects so special they'll be an industry game changer. Guess we'll see about that, but just that claim has scared away the season's usual sci-fi and sorcery flicks. This December features mostly down-to-earth stories about families, romance, crime solvers, and the occasional singing chipmunk.
Watch out, here I come. You send me right around.
Alvin?
Alvin and the Chipmunks' The Squeakwell is about a battle of the bands and general mayhem.
Are you boys behaving?
Have a little faith, Dave.
What was that?
Cheese ball? Booyah!
The only other upcoming family film is Disney's Princess and the Frog, but there are plenty of films about families. A French one called Ricky has an infant who goes airborne, and no, he's not the balloon boy. Germany's The White Ribbon is about a choir full of children whose families start having bizarre accidents. And a thriller called The Lovely Bones is about a child who is dead, but still around.
I wasn't gone. I was alive in my own perfect world. But in my heart, I knew it wasn't perfect. My murderer still haunted me.
The Lovely Bones is directed by Peter Jackson and represents something of a change from his Lord of the Rings trilogy. Family is also central in Everybody's Fine, where Robert De Niro pays surprise visits to his four adult children, discovering everybody's not fine. And in Brothers, when a soldier is declared missing in action, his younger sibling steps up to take care of his family, becoming a new dad to the kids.
You know, your dad saved me in that water when we were little kids. You know, you're like your dad.
And a new lover for the wife. Then comes an unexpected phone call.
Hello?
I want to talk to my wife.
Tobey Maguire is the soldier, Jake Gyllenhaal his younger brother. But enough seriousness, it's the holidays, a time for escapism, say a thrill ride version of Sherlock Holmes, starring Robert Downey Jr. as the sleuth and Jude Law as a put-upon Dr. Watson.
You've never complained about my methods before?
I never complain. When do I complain about you practicing the violin at 3 a.m? Or your mess? Your general lack of hygiene or the fact that you steal my clothes?
Holmes, does your depravity know no bounds?
No.
Another period piece, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, features an antic final screen performance by Heath Ledger as a magician's assistant.
Oh, late, late, for a very important date. Gosh, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that in my life. Listen, can I ask you a question? Do you dream? Or should I say, can you put a price on your dreams?
When Ledger died midway through the film shoot, director Terry Gilliam recruited Johnny Depp, Jude Law, and Colin Farrell to act his remaining scenes. If that sounds unlikely, it's not nearly as odd as some of the holiday season's plot lines, especially the ones for romantic comedies. In Serious Moonlight, Meg Ryan will keep her hubby from leaving her by duct taping him to a toilet.
You can't keep a person hostage until they love you.
Come on, Ian, I'm sure it's been done before.
There's also Did You Hear About the Morgans, which sends a soon-to-divorce couple, Hugh Grant and Sarah Jessica Parker, into the witness protection program together. Then It's Complicated makes Meryl Streep the other woman in her ex-husband's new marriage. And Up in the Air pairs frequent flyer George Clooney with someone who's attracted to his mileage.
I put up pretty pedestrian numbers, like 60,000 a year domestic.
It's not bad.
You don't patronize me. What's your total?
That's a personal question.
Oh, please.
Well, we hardly know each other.
Oh, come on. Impress me. I bet it's huge.
You have no idea.
Comparatively down-to-earth, if not entirely conventional, is the more serious gay love story told in A Single Man, which is garnering Oscar talk about its star, Colin Firth. Oscar season is also a time for biopics, and this year they're so classy that Clint Eastwood has given the one he's directed a title in Latin, Invictus, which means undefeated. It stars Morgan Freeman as Nelson Mandela and Matt Damon as a very surprised South African rugby player.
I've been invited to tea.
With who?
The president.
Tell me, Francois, how do we inspire ourselves to greatness when nothing less will do? How do we inspire everyone around us?
What did he want?
I think he wants us to win the World Cup.
From Invictus to a literary biography, The Last Station, about Russian novelist Leo Tolstoy and his wife, played by Helen Mirren, who struggled with Tolstoy's followers to control his legacy.
See, you forget that I'm an experienced reader, so I can read your face, every letter. It's not something they'd understand, the so-called disciples of my husband's. They've never understood a word he's ever written.
The Last Station is based on a historical novel, while The Young Victoria leans on historical facts about an isolated royal teenager.
Do you ever feel like a chess piece in a game being played against your will?
Do you?
Constantly.
Then you had better master the rules of the game until you play it better than they can.
You don't recommend I find a husband to play it for me?
Not for you. With you.
Emily Blunt plays the young Victoria. And then there's Nine, which is sort of a biopic, though one where the bio part is the least of it. Italian director Federico Fellini was telling his own story in his movie Eight and a Half, then Broadway added music and called it Nine, and now Nine, about the director and his women, comes to the screen.
Directing a movie is a very overrated job, we all know it. You just have to say yes and no. What else do you do?
Nothing. Maestro, should this be red? Yes. Green? No. More extras? Yes. More lipstick? No. Yes, no. Yes, no. It's directing.
Actually directing is Rob Marshall, looking to top his Oscar-winning Chicago with an even starrier musical cast. Daniel Day-Lewis, Penelope Cruz, Nicole Kidman, Judi Dench, Sophia Loren. In short, a lot of Oscar bait. I'm Bob Mondello.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. Now, two stories about innovations in automobile safety as part of our series called On the Road to Safety. In a moment, we'll hear about so-called aging suits that help engineers feel what it's like to drive for the elderly. First, a system that deletes the driver from the equation altogether. It's called Personal Rapid Transit, or pod cars. The idea is to deliver the convenience of the car without the pollution or congestion. Reporter Kathy Duchamp explains.
To understand how pod cars work, you have to go back to the future. Check out this clip from a 1958 Disney TV show called Magic Highway USA.
Tomorrow's living in spacious, well-planned communities will be closely integrated with the highway system.
The animated film shows a family piling into a pod-shaped vehicle. No wheels and no driver.
Electronics take over complete control. Progress can be accurately checked on a synchronized scanning map.
Now imagine a time when pod cars are added to the mix of bus and rail transit. A system actually exists today on the campus of West Virginia University.
We can transport, under optimum conditions, about 4,000 people an hour. It's quite a scene when you see all those vehicles out riding the guideway.
That's Hugh Keurig. He's in charge of the nation's first personal rapid transit, or PRT, system in Morgantown, West Virginia. It opened in 1975.
35 years ago, this was high-tech and top of the line.
Bright blue and yellow pods, the size of minibuses, zip students along roads, made just for them. You pick your destination before you get on, and you go there directly, no stops in between. Keurig says the problem is that the system is retro and not in a good way.
You know, now students view it as being slow, bumpy. It's sort of like the difference between a passenger rail of the late 19th century versus airplane transportation.
Keurig wants to give his PRT a 21st century upgrade, but it's not that easy, because to date, no other personal rapid transit system has been built in the United States. Call it an odd duck that never took flight. But there is enthusiasm for POG cars across the Atlantic.
There's three stations and 18 vehicles, and there is some planning in the works to extend it to the entire airport.
That's Steve Rainey, sales guy for Ultra PRT, a company that's building a personal rapid transit system at Heathrow Airport outside London. It's scheduled to open this spring. The beige bug-eyed pods hold five passengers with luggage. Battery power gives them green cachet.
I think it has gone, for me, from this journey of being kind of a weirdo pushing exotic technology to more acceptance and more doors opened.
Several American cities are now doing PRT feasibility studies, Ithaca, New York, San Jose, California, and a group in Minnesota, among others. Rainey can see a day when people will choose pod transit over driving alone.
For people's commutes driving alone in traffic, it's not like they love their car so much. You know, it's not quite the love affair. It's much more that it's the least worse of a series of alternatives that nobody really likes that much.
But would people really switch to a driverless pod? John Carnegie leads the Voorhees Transportation Center at Rutgers University.
I think it will be really interesting to see over the next decade how energy prices impact the way people are choosing to travel. And the more people decide that they would like to use modes other than the car, we may actually see a greater level of innovation.
Carnegie thinks Atlantic City would be a great place to test pod cars stateside. There are lots of tourists who need to get around and a gambling culture that may be willing to roll the dice on something new. For NPR News, I'm Kathy Duchamp.
And today at the White House, we have heard of no efforts to crash Thanksgiving dinner. There were no surprises on the menu either. The White House says family, friends, and staff dined on turkey and honey-baked ham, cornbread and oyster stuffing, sweet and mashed potatoes, plus greens, macaroni and cheese, and green bean casserole, and six kinds of pie.